studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
And welcome to the program. It is a Monday afternoon at whatever time it is. This is a pre-recorded program, folks. So you will not be able to call the 646-721-9887 number to participate in the program. We have been having audio issues again. And I wish that you could see my face right now because it is very red. And that's not because of the sunshine right now. And
it's not embarrassment either. It's because of fury. I know.
Yes, because Cliff is also very red-faced underneath that beard of his.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
But the short thing is, folks, is that we've been having audio problems for quite a while with Blog Talk Radio. We've tried different methods of doing it. Sometimes they'll work. Half the time they don't. We've been trying different things at Blog Talk suggestion, and it worked great last week. This week we just couldn't even get the show started, and I mean the audio wasn't perfect, but at least it was continuous.
At least it was there.
Right. Whereas today, now Cliff and I we do it in Cliff's in the remote studio in Cottage Grove, and he could even hear me to know what I was asking him, and we just decided, you know, just screw it, basically. Because we both put in hours of research in preparation for the show, and when stuff like this happens, I mean, it's one thing that the people that follow us and join us on the program get disappointed because we're not there, and we're disappointed because we go ahead and schedule, you know, for our show and set, because both of our times are valuable, and. And then all the time that we spend doing the show prep, and we can't do the program.
So, okay, are you recording this on Adobe?
We are now recording this. Yes.
Okay, I'm just wondering if you had thought to do that.
Yes. No, I haven't set up any type of recording. We're just doing the show, and nobody's ever going to hear this. Yes, I have the recorder on. God.
Oh, jeez.
Robin reaches across miles of space and slaps Cliff in the face. Yes, we are being recorded. I'm not just saying this just to talk to myself. I'm not explaining this just to explain to Cliff, who's already over there with smoke coming out of his ears just like I have, which really ruins my headphones. Yes, this is recorded. It is going to be uploaded probably sometime later today or when I get back from work. We got want to talk a little bit about the killings in Mexico, the JetBlue booting off a person on the no-fly list, and a couple other issues. And Cliff, if you got something, go ahead and get started. I'll give me a chance to get my notes back open.
Oh, okay. Basically, there's a lot of things going on. For example, Obama is being called the first gay president by Newsweek magazine. This is just their opinion of him. I don't know that haven't said that he really is gay, but they put on the front page that he is the first gay president. It's a cover article by prominent political writer and outspoken member of the gay community, Andrew Sullivan. He delves into past and asserts that given his background and the declaration for support of gay marriage, that should come as no surprise drawing parallels between the sense of isolation felt by so many growing and accepting their homosexuality, get that word out, and Obama's struggle to assert his own racial identity in the early years, he wholeheartedly celebrates his decision. Well, basically, they're not saying that Obama is gay, but they're just using that as a catcher. Believe me, a headline that's supposed to catch your attention, and it will. It will catch the attention of a whole lot of people. but when they read it, it's basically what it's supposed to be. I don't think that Obama's going to be a problem with the gay thing. The people in, well, the news announcers or the news analysts, let's put it that way, on both CNN and Fox News, they're not news reporters at all anymore. They're analysts. They have maybe one reporter each that reports the actual news, but the rest of them are all analysts and try to spin the news, and I don't think they're any of them really spinning it as Obama being gay. But it's nice to hear that he supports it, that he accepts it, and it's one of those things that I don't think it's going to be a problem with him. It is, of course, with the religious right or left or whatever they are, religious in people, they're going to be all upset about it because they're going to be upset anything that has to do with gay. He's only supporting gay marriage. I guess you have to support gay people in order to support gay marriage, but that's what he's doing. And, of course, some of the people on television are just all over that and all upset about it, and it's no big thing. But I don't think it's going to hurt him. I think it's going to help him. And as much as I don't necessarily want anything to help him, he's going to get along there. I hope that it doesn't give him enough help to make him win.
Position. I agree with you. I just hope that it helps him enough that that's all people are going to think about. Well, he's the president wants the gay marriage. He's gay. He's already offended the Catholic Church with the issues over condoms.
I would offend the Catholic Church too, and most everything I say. So that doesn't make any difference. There's not much that I agree with the Catholic Church, John. I mean, of all ridiculous things, if you're gonna believe in God, you don't believe that confessing to a priest is supposed to absolve you of sins. I can't believe that. I scoff at the Catholic Church all the way. And now I'm in big trouble because the entire Catholic community is going
to... You scoffed it.
I scoffed. Yep.
You did scoff
I scoffed.
It. And what's interesting, too, about what changed Obama's mind, and I'm trying to, like I say, I've had to close down all my notes, dang it.
It's one of his kids.
Exactly.
Brought up the,
they were saying that the kids were saying that they know people that are mommies and mommies, daddies and daddies and whatever. And he says, "Dad, you really need to get into the 21st century." It's like, oh, is this what it takes to get through to the president? Is have his kids be the advisors?
Well, I can see why he would listen to what they have to say, because they're actually out there and amongst the human beings that are involved in the world, and he is not. He's kept aside. He's kept apart from everybody and everything as far as society is concerned, I think, because of the people who are protecting his livelihood. But his kids can go into the world, so to speak, to go out to school and go out and be among people who just have regular thoughts, and they get the idea. And they're not very old yet, 10 and what is it, 10 and 13 or something like that?
Yeah, 10 and 13.
But they all are old enough to understand what's going on, and I rather imagine that they're quite bright. As far as that's concerned, because I get the impression that Mrs. Obama has done her job in teaching them various things. I think she's been probably very, very good at that up until for the last 4 years, because the last 4 years she's been involved in being Mrs. Obama, Mrs. President, and that, I imagine, has slowed her down considerably, which is too bad. I would be more than happy to allow her to be just Mrs. Obama again, and to to not have to worry about the free world and to just take care of her kids again, make her a free person. That would be my opinion, my preference.
Well, she has made references in the past of wanting to just walk out those big double doors down the steps and just keep going, and like we said, that's fine. Just be sure to take your husband with you.
Yeah, I'd love to help her make that decision and do that job, just to walk out those doors. But and that'd be fine. That'd be no problem at all. I mean, the president Obama has made enough decisions, has done enough to upset the apple cart, as we say, already. So we don't need any more time of him in there doing that. He's done the job, and that's fine. We can let him go, and he can be something else. He doesn't have, what can he do? What can he do? He doesn't have any experience doing anything that I know of.
He doesn't have to. I mean, of course, then again, you know, this would be a good skit, like a Saturday Night Live thing, you know, a former president going and applying for the job. So tell me, sir, have you had any accomplishments recently? Well, I was the president of the United States. And how did that go for you? And when you ran into, you know, going through all the psychological questions that we usually have to do in interviews. So when you ran into a difficult issue, how did you resolve that? Well, I sent up a committee and put czars on it and let them handle it.
Basically, he bypassed everyone and just did it.
And if I didn't like the rules, I changed them.
Go do it by executive committee, executive order. I don't have any real job for doing anything. I just make up my mind to do it, and since nobody agrees with me, I just do it and call it done. Now, of course, nobody really understands it, and nobody really follows any of the rules or does any of the things to speak of. I mean, all of the things that he does are basically overturned. So what are you going to do?
Well, and I was just thinking about that skit, that a way to end that would be for the interviewer going, wait a minute, you're that Obama? You're the one that put all this regulations on us that caused us to millions of dollars in losses?
really? And where did he spend all that money? This man has spent more money than all the other presidents, I think, combined. And what do we have to go to see for it? Because almost nothing. You know, some of the things I will have to admit, there are some things that are being done by the different states and the different counties and things that are a possibility from the money that he sent down, so to speak, and it's still happening as it stands, because some of these states and things haven't spent all that money. They've got that money sort of stored up. They haven't spent it yet, or they've spent it somewhere it wasn't supposed to be, and we're still seeing some of it being trickling down and doing things. But we've got billions of dollars. I mean, we're over three times as deep in debt as we have ever been before as a country, and there doesn't seem to be any end to it at all. Not with him staying as president.
Actually, I think I figured him out.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, I think I figured it all out. His goal is, because, you know, we assume that when we elect somebody in office, that the candidate that we're electing, their primary goal is for the welfare of the United States. His goal is really so simple. It's reason why other news medias have not picked this up. So everybody get their pencils down, because I'm going to be like Glenn Beck. I'm going to tell you exactly what his purpose is. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Well, there are golf courses that need to be played.
Okay. Is he good golf? Is he good at golf?
I don't know. He does a lot of golfing. But there are golf courses out there yet to be played, and so in that, and finding all the vacation spots for his wife. So that's his primary purpose.
The thing is, it's just having been president, just the title of having past been president, that makes you some money right there. I mean, as long as he's not too greedy and requires too much money, because I don't know that he knows how to do anything except, I can't even say that he knows how to make a speech, because he knows how to make the speech. He doesn't know how to write the speech. I don't think he does that. I think he just reads what's on the teleprompter, and that's as far as it goes. When he's doing better at making up his own mind, but even then, it's not what it's supposed to be.
He is a used car salesman. He will tell the audience anything that they want to hear, and unfortunately, a lot of people fall for it.
That's what really upsets me. That's where I get upset at having him in an office, because he does exactly that. He says exactly what he wants to say, and doesn't he pays no attention to what he says. He pays no attention to what he says. He simply says it because it'll make somebody happy, and that doesn't cut it. He doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't have any opinion. He doesn't have any.
Well, that's why he changed his slogan from Hope and Change to Forward. Yeah, let's move forward. Let's forget about everything that he's done, and let's move forward. I'd like to move forward. I'd like to move forward to another president, although I'm not 100% thrilled about the other choice. But, again, the way our system is, I'm sorry, we only got the choice between the two.
Well, that's possibly true and possibly not true, because Ron Paul is still in the race. Ron Paul has decided he's going to stop spending money. He's made the statement that he's going to stop selling money, but he just still wants to go to the presidential primaries, and he still wants to obtain delegates for the national convention in Tampa, so that he could possibly still come out on top if everybody has put other people aside, because everybody else has quit except for Romney. And Ron Paul. Ron Paul is still in the running, so it is not impossible that people could be so upset with Romney that Ron Paul will be the one I don't know when the national convention is. It's in August sometime, very late in August, but he could be the one that's nominated to carry the stick there, and I would like to see Ron Paul run it and get the position of presidency, because I don't think he would be nearly as bad, and I think he would start repairing things a lot faster than absolutely anyone we've got in the running right now.
Well, I don't know. I guess the whole thing just kind of scares me, but what really makes me sad is that Obama has pushed the envelope over the last 3 years, and there's been a lot of people screaming and moaning or bitching and moaning about what's been done, and I've said this on previous programs, why haven't we learned from our mistakes? Why, I mean, like, for example, the birth certificate issues. If he doesn't have anything to hide, why not bring up the birth certificate? But then with all the hoopla over the last 3 years, why not set up for the next president? Why isn't there a call for the next president before you can take office? In fact, here's the question. Do we even do a background check on the president before he gets into office?
Usually the person running for president is well known, and their background is well known, and while they're running for office and doing all that sort of thing, they're they're vetted greatly. I mean, they've been beat to death about their background.
No, that's true too. Just like Romney supposedly beating up or cutting a kid's hair because he's gay, and back then back then gay meant happy.
It wasn't that long ago.
it's called, guys, it's called this guy that they're talking about that he cut his hair off. He's not gay. He was a hippie. There's a difference.
Yeah. I didn't get into that. I didn't know exactly what that's all about. I just considered that totally out of the question. It's so long ago, and I don't care about it because you did things differently then. It's true. And regardless of whether you like it or not, people running for president are still just people. And they followed customs of the times. And so, the hippies, they were a problem because I remember I hired a guy that had long hair. And even I, way back when, for a radio station, I convinced him to put it under his collar. When he was out in public and doing things in public, he was to hide his hair, and he accepted that. I let him keep his hair, but he put it under his collar when he was out in public. And later, he actually literally cut his hair, not because I asked him to. He just decided he wanted to, but because we did an awful lot of public appearances and a lot of concerts and things, and he was, well, a lot of them, he actually did introduce the guests and stuff. And so at that particular time, the long hair was not acceptable.
Exactly.
I didn't care myself, but...
you did. Don't give me that.
No, I didn't, because I actually... Well, I didn't have long hair then. It was a little bit after that I had the long hair, but I combed my hair in such a way as you couldn't tell. You know, I was one of those.
Wrapped around your neck.
Well, almost.
Yeah.
I started it from the back and combed it front and then to the side, and my hair was about 8 inches long, but you didn't know it.
Yeah. Anyways, I want to ask people not to call 646-721-9887. This is a recording of the program. We are not broadcasting live, although we did try to today. But again, if you are listening to the program, well, of course, the only way you are going to listen to the program today is through the archives. You can still participate by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We always are glad to hear from folks, even if it's just a... You know, hi, we love your show. If you say, hi, get off the air, well, you may not get a response back. But
well, you might, too.
And the way things are going about a couple months we've been dealing with these issues? Oh. Yeah.
We are off the air.
Yeah. So right now, if I was to act the way I feel right now, well, let's put it this way. You'd be listening to us on a completely different thing. But anyways, you can still mark it down, or like Cliff has, in big felt letters on his refrigerator, 646-721-9887, because we're going to try it again, possibly. Well, probably a good chance we're going to try it again next week. And I'm not giving up on them, because I pay for this service. But anyways,
really,
I want to change gears here, unless you got something else you want to add to that.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I want to get into. As things are not working here. JetBlue and the TSA. Actually, believe it or not, TSA actually doesn't have much to do with this, except for they're saying, we don't know, we had nothing to do with it. But
what does the music have to do with it?
Oh, that was just something I threw in there. I'm doing things cold, so I tried to queue it up because it had something to do with security, so.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's a downside about doing this the way I'm doing it right now, because things are different. But anyways, basically, what had happened is JetBlue booted off a family because one of the family showed up on their no-fly list. And when it was mother, daughter, father, and when they were asked what's going on, and they said, it's not you, it's your 18-month-old daughter who's on the 18 list.
18-month-old daughter.
Month.
Yeah. She's
a year and a half old.
She's a scary person.
That's right. I mean, in those 18 months, you know, this girl has gone through extensive training in terrorism.
Yeah, we're getting so ridiculous at this. We're getting so PC, politically correct, supposedly. This is ridiculous. We've got to stop doing all of this, because when you've got the thing is, they don't go by anything. They don't go by the people. They go only by a name, and they're not even they're not sure of who they're doing it to. They're not sure of who they're doing. I mean, what do we have? All this stuff that different things to go through, whether they be, I don't know,
Well, what happened to common sense? I mean, like Rick Abbott, a spokesman for the family, says at that age, the only bomb you can drop is in your diaper.
Yeah, there is no sense to it at all. They're not paying any attention to the people at the site, at the actually the places where you go through that you tested and looked at, and they don't pay any attention to them. They go by the name, only the name that they see on the list there, and that doesn't make any sense. What did they stop the flight? Did they keep them off the flight?
Yeah, they totally kicked them off the flight. It took them 3 days to get to their destination. In fact. Now, this is from the New York Post, if anybody wants to read it, and I'm quoting here. They said, back in the terminal, the family was accosted by nearly a dozen airport workers, including TSA agents, and Broward County, I'm probably saying that wrong, Florida's sheriff's officers, and the parents said that they, because of that, they were humiliated. Humiliated?
All of these people, didn't they bother to look and see? Couldn't they tell that the girl is only 18 years old? I mean, 18 months old? I mean, don't they have any eyeballs or any input into the program? I mean, what do we have the people going through all of these tests for and being sent through all of these machines that undress you in front of everybody? What is that for? I mean, they didn't pay any attention to it.
When they're claiming that due to a quote-unquote computer glitch, that it triggered an alert on the JetBlue's list, and JetBlue apparently issued a public apology, but never issued an apology, to the parents themselves. And the TSA is still kind of going, well, we don't know what happened, although the TSA apparently was involved in checking things out because the TSA agents and the sheriffs was there when they were asked to leave.
Well, all of these people, they went through all of these tests and all of these things that you go through, these machines and everything, before you get on the airplane. What did they think about that? Why didn't they...
She was on a no-fly list. Now, they didn't say anything in the article that they're going to make sure that she's not on the no-fly list in the future, but she's on a no-fly list. Boy, I tell you, those 18 months, once she popped out, she's been a real troublemaker.
But wait a minute. I mean, they didn't know that she was 18 months? I mean, what did they do? What did they test on this? How do they... I don't understand how all these people could be involved in this, and they ignored them. They go by a computer glitch, and that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, what are we doing, going through all of these tests for? What are you going through all these checkpoints for? I mean, why bother to do that if it's a computer list that's going to make a difference?
Well, and here's a quote. Again, this is from the same New York Times or New York Post thing. When the employee, they were already aboard the JetBlue plane in Fort Lauderdale on Tuesday when a JetBlue employee asked him to get off. Now I'm quoting, "It's not you or your husband, it's your daughter. She was flagged on the no-fly list," an airline employer told I guess
these airline lawyers that are telling her this, can't they see the daughter? Can't they see that the girl is only 18 months old? Can't they use their own head?
Well, see, what they should have done, in my opinion, is, okay, they went and, all right, well, obviously, this is your daughter. You're on the flight list. Can you wait here for a moment, please? Hello, supervisor. I have a 18-month-old on the no-fly list here. What should I do?
And if they're stupid enough to do that, if they don't have any more authority than to do that, that would be acceptable. But 18 months old, you've got to have the authority to allow that person to fly. I mean, I don't know how you can possibly. Nobody's going to name their daughter something that's going to put them on that no-fly list on purpose, because that's. That's something they can't know, and you can't do anything to an 18 month old to make her that dangerous.
And besides that, if you want to hide something in an 18-month-old diaper and you want to inspect it, you go right ahead.
Well, you can't hide anything in there. I mean, what can you do? I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. JetBlue is going to be in. It isn't JetBlue's fault, I don't think.
Yeah, it's JetBlue. It showed up on their list. TSA didn't ask them to leave. It was JetBlue, and TSA said that they're looking into the incident. But it just gets down to the whole issue once again. I mean, it caused them to be 3 days late to their destination, having to deal with all this stuff, not to mention the stress and everything. And it still gets back to the big issue, is that here we are, we're checking people's underwear, and I'm going to get into that little snafu here that's recently in the news in a minute, but yet we keep our front door unlocked, and anybody can come in.
Well, I don't know what the front door is in Mexico.
Exactly.
That's another story.
But what I wanted to bring up real quick, this is kind of on the same line but a little different scenario. As we come up to the one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden, we heard lots in the news about, you know, rumors of a revenge attack on the anniversary. And then the next thing we hear in the news is a second underwear bomber gets caught, not by TSA, but by the CIA. And then as the story unfolds there, it says the CIA was kind of helping along, you know, kind of playing undercover and everything. Why do I get the feeling that this is all a play? Just to kind of reinforce look at us, you know, our intelligence says that there was going to be another one. Oh, we found another one. We were involved in it, but the TSA had nothing to do with it.
That's a good question. I didn't hear about that. There's so many things that are involved, so many things that are happening, and I can see that the FBI because everybody's doing something. I'm a little upset that they're all doing it individually and independently. They should be all working together so that they all know about what's going on, but they aren't, so we can live with that. But I mean, we have to have a job for somebody. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of it as, is we've got plenty of FBI agents and CIA agents and TSA agents and every agency in the world, and it's just a lot of ways for people to have a good job.
Yeah, things are totally crazy. Just like this, and if I was able to cue up the what the heck are they thinking, we have gone so low as a country and in our priorities that it makes headlines when Hillary shows up somewhere without makeup.
Actually, I've seen Hillary without makeup, and she doesn't look bad. Hillary's a very good-looking lady. She dresses well. I don't care what anybody says, and I don't see any problem with Hillary standing up for our country and standing in for our country, no matter what she looks like, because she isn't that bad. And I'm all for Hillary. I think she's okay.
Well, the whole point is why does it make headline news? I mean, she shows up somewhere without her makeup. BFD.
Well, our problem is who's deciding what comes in the news. We don't have news people anymore. It's not news. It's analysts and people who are there to pick things apart. And they can't pick things apart if it's hard news. That's just something you've got to state and put on the air. So we've got to come up with something that picks things apart, that we can pick apart. And that's what we can do, is pick apart Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and she also wore her glasses, too, instead of contacts. Oh, my God, she wears glasses. I mean, that's what's next? You know, President Obama picked his nose, film at 11?
Well, yeah, heavens, of course.
With a step-by-step commentary during each thing that as the events arise. That's right. Here, okay, we're about to ready. The president, of course, is late again, and here's showing up to the podium. And okay, folks, we're going to zoom in now because, as anticipated, yep, there it goes. There goes the finger up the nose, and he's wiggling it around a little bit. And nope, the first time wasn't successful. He's going in for a second try. There it is, folks. There it is. All right, he's looking at it. He sniffed it, and he put it in his Kleenex. Yes. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, the official nose picking of 2012.
Oh boy, we've got to be careful with you. You're being okay. Now we've had that.
Just remember, you heard it here first.
Yeah, that's heaven forbid. I don't know if I want to admit that we heard it here first. Anyway. Next.
I just like this headlines. Are bangs bad for your health?
Well, depends on how long they are. As long as they aren't over your eyeballs, you can see.
I'm not even going to read the article. I don't care.
Really?
But like I said, the whole point is with everything going on in the news, you know, just like as we kind of referred to earlier, you know, Mitt Romney and being a bully 50 years ago, you know, and that's, of course, what the news media is focusing on. It's like, with everything else going on in the world, why are we even wasting, you know, our time on that? And if that's the only thing they can find on Romney, then that's great. That, and he likes to have his dog on top of his car. How many years ago was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is menial thing, and that's the thing I was just going to say, is that this happens every presidential election. They get into little side skits in here. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but I don't care. I'm more concerned about what's his track record as far as being able to manage. Can he take this ship called America and steer it in the right direction to get us back on track? And why, even during a lot of the debates, why aren't they asking these questions? Or why aren't they focusing on this stuff? But they're just digging up dirt on dirt.
Well, actually, to be very honest with you, I'll have to admit, during the actual debates themselves, a lot of really good questions were asked and a lot of really good answers were given. They didn't actually start working on all of these ridiculous menial things until probably the last debate or so. We found out some good hard information about all of the presidential candidates and all the way through. Unfortunately, we didn't act on them. We didn't. The one person I believe that we should have in there, of course, was Newt Gingrich. And all the way he should have been there. He has actually backed out of the contest at this point. So basically right now, Ron Paul is the only one we've got that could actually make a difference and that would actually make a difference. He is the one person I believe that would actually go in to the office with the idea of doing something and following through. So at this particular point, I don't want to say stuck with Mitt Romney, which is basically what we are, is stuck with Mitt Romney. But I don't think he's that bad. I don't see him. He wouldn't do anything wrong. I don't want to say that anymore. I'm afraid to say anything anymore because after I've admitted that I voted for Mr. Obama, because, you know, how much harm could he do? And then I find out a lot. Yep. And so now I'm in trouble.
Well, and that's the thing that just gets me is that I'll admit I'm a little biased. I don't want Obama in there, but I try to, when I do my homework on these articles, I try to go to the source as much as possible. And when I listen to Obama supporters and even the people I work with, and all you hear is a blanket thing, well, these damn Republicans, this, Republicans, that, Obama's the greatest thing since I don't know, milk and cereal. But and at the, I asked him, okay, what has Obama done? What is it you like about him? You know, and I don't corner him. I try to, you know, to get him to just share his feelings. You know, convince me otherwise. And all he does is he rambles off the sound bites. He just says, well, he's done such a good job. How? Well, he's helping the recession.
Yeah.
You know, and
don't look. Don't dig for information. They don't listen for information. They just listen for the fluff.
Exactly. And like one of the fluffs right now is you know, his obsession on millionaires and billionaires wanting to raise taxes on that. And somebody figured out that I don't have the source for that, unfortunately, but somebody figured out that the increase in taxes on millionaires and billionaires would kind of pay for running the nation for less than a day. But why the obsession on that? Why do we care? Because the only thing that it does, you know, well, you got to pay your fair share. The only thing it does, it puts more money into the government. And here's a little side note that'll kind of make my point. This is from the LA Times. California Governor Jerry Brown on Monday released a plan to contain California's rapidly growing deficit by closing state offices one day a week, etc. And he says that we're hoping that we can increase taxes temporarily to help pay for the California's nearly $16 billion deficit. Well, I hate to say this, guys, and I don't mean it just for California. I mean it all over. The people really didn't have anything to do with that deficit. It's the people that are in charge of the money.
Actually, I'll disagree with you, because basically the people are voting on more of a deficit all the time. For example, in New York, Albany, New York, they've just voted for $1.25 raise in the minimum wage. We keep voting for the minimum wage to go up. We keep voting for our wages to go up. We've got to stop doing that. Everything always ends up, as soon as that minimum wage goes up, everybody's going to have to raise their prices just a little bit in order to make up for it. It's going to happen. It is going to cost money to do these things at any time. So consequently, and yet people keep voting for it. They invoke a 68% favorability rating to get that increase in minimum wage there. And we keep doing that. We keep doing that. And it's going to cost us money each time. We've got to understand somewhere that we've got to cut back. We've got to, all of our federal employees have got to be, their wages have got to be cut back. All of our, whether it's state, county, every one of them has to be cut back, almost every one of them to a number, so that the government employees, let's call them, are basically on a par with civilian employees. Because until we do that, and even then, some of the civilian employees are a little overpaid at this particular point. We've got we could cut back just a minimal amount and make a huge difference, because there's so many people that were involved in cutting back on. We've got way too many government employees. I liked Mr. Newt Gingrich's opinion of taking some of the people out of Washington, about half of them, and putting them in across the border with Mexico, and that would solve our problem. We could put them almost side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and we'd cover the entire border and solve our problem.
Well, yeah, I'll agree, and I'll stand corrected in a sense. A lot of the money that goes in and raises our taxes are like for school bonds and other stuff that we vote in, but the money that, you know, is supposed to be allocated for what we voted for, but there is a lot of waste. There is as you have stated many a times, like $2 or $3 billion here is nothing as far as the big picture goes, but it still all adds up. And when we're in a recession, although the government has announced that the recession was officially over last year sometime. But when they go spend billions of dollars, like the GSA having their little meeting or whatever in Las Vegas, you know, the rest of us who are the suppliers of that money, you know, like you and I, Cliff, you know, we're not exactly, I mean, we're lucky in the fact that we both have places to stay. We're able to put food on the table. There's a lot of people that aren't that lucky. A lot of people don't
That's
have
true.
Jobs. And when they hear about all the vacations, all the money that's being wasted, like on these parties and conventions, it's like the elite group. And when you're barely having, you know, you're dumpster diving to be able to have food for that day, and you're told that you make, you know, you're working a minimum wage job, maybe if you're lucky and part time, and you're still told that you're making too much for any assistance for yourself, just to help food, if you're getting that at all, and you're seeing all this waste, it's just it's heartbreaking. You know, it shows how out of touch they are and how free they are with our money. And then they turn around and go, well, we need people to pay their fair share. Well, and the Buffett rule that Obama likes to talk about, you know, well, we need to raise the taxes on millionaires and billionaires. Why not, you know, because he needs to pay the same amount as his secretary, a Buffett does. It's like, okay, why not lower the secretary's taxes?
No, we don't need to. We don't want to lower the secretary's taxes. We don't want to raise the taxes on anybody. Just make them pay what's already there. Make them pay what they are finding the lawyers and such to skip out with. Just change the tax form. That's like some of the people, all of these Republicans were talking about changing the tax code so that it's a simple percentage point.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, Romney is the only one who didn't do that, who didn't recommend that, and he's the one we're left with.
Yeah. And, of course, now the thing is that if you do the flat rate, like the 999 plan from Herman Cain, where you start getting into trouble is that if you do like a flat tax, and then, okay, well, what about the deduction for your mortgage? Well, as soon as you start adding deductions and you start adding exceptions, next thing you know, you're back to where you started.
So don't add them.
Yeah, just leave it.
Don't add them.
I'll gladly give up my interest rate deduction on my mortgage if all I had to pay out of my check is 9%. Because right now, what I pay, I'm in the 35% tax bracket.
Right.
And like I say, I'd like to be able to afford to buy a second pair of pants. I can't. I'm going to have to go to Goodwill to do that. But
so
as
far as I'm concerned, if you're down to 999, that's 27%. If you're sitting there at 27%, I don't care if the amount of money for my mortgage is higher than it was last week. If it's still within that 27%, that's logical. I mean, it's not a hell of a lot, but it is a lot to make a difference in how much I'm paying in taxes.
I agree. Anyways, you are listening to Oregon Update. We are pre-recorded today. You cannot call 646-721-9887. Well, you can, but all it will say that we're not live. Again, we welcome you to send your show ideas and comments to talk@krbnradio.com. And don't give up on us. We haven't given up the fight to make our show work.
Technically work.
I hope that it doesn't come down to that this is the only way we're going to do it. But there are other programs like TalkShoe or whatever that is not as good as Blog Talk, I'll admit. But, you know, we're not going to give up easily. So don't give up on us.
Some way we'll do it. Some way we'll do it. So, anyway, next subject. Do we have another subject?
Let's see. You had on your docket the killings in Mexico, I believe, or did we already talk about that?
Well, I would like to talk about that because basically Mexico is a basic problem, major problem. Do you realize The thing that I had there is the fact that we just found 49 people alongside the road in Mexico they were there with their heads chopped off and their feet chopped off. But part of the thing is and this is in Mexico City. It's Monterrey. It's Mexico's third largest city, and they were there. But the thing is, violence related to the drug cartel and the crackdown on the drug cartel has claimed more than 50,000 lives in the last 5 years. So 50,000 lives, that's 10,000 lives a year. Most of them in states like Nuevo León, near the American border. The point is, what are we doing? We are not doing anything about that. This is a war. This is the most important war that we're fighting. We shouldn't be fighting in Afghanistan. I mean, we don't kill that many people a year in Afghanistan, and yet we're just letting this one go. We've got to get on our backs and or on our butts and get off of our butts, rather, and do something about this stuff in Mexico, because here we're importing things to the United States that, you know, people say, well, if we didn't buy the drugs, they wouldn't be imported. That's true, I suppose. But things are going both directions. They're not just being imported to the United States. We're sending things down there. We've got to worry about what's going on, and we need to be paying attention to it. I don't hear anything about the government doing anything about anything that's going on about this this thing going on into Mexico, and Mexico. Let's face it, Mexico's teetering on going in with 50,000 people going in place. They're in chaos. It's an absolute chaos down there, and we're not doing anything about it.
That's the whole point. Any other country, and now Mexico also has resources like oil and other stuff, but any other country that is in a similar situation as Mexico, we go stick our nose in. You know, people are leaving Mexico by the millions, and it is almost a joke, just like the way we put our government down, say we don't trust our government. It's a common thing about how corrupt the Mexican government is, the police are, et cetera, et cetera. But yet, you know, we're buddy buddies with Mexico as far as governments are concerned, U.S. government and Mexican government. Why aren't we going over there and sending our forces over there to, quote unquote, help them like we do every place else?
Very simple. They've said no. They said no, we don't want your troops over here. They don't want their people over there. They wouldn't accept it over there. It's not a matter of wanting to do it or not. But we've got to put our stop to people coming over here. We've got to put a stop to on the border of things going this direction, period. So we should be spending more money and more time and bring up all of our people from different places around the world and bring them home. We could save money by doing that, because we wouldn't have to have these bases overseas that we're spending money at. We'd still have the same amount of people. We could keep them employed over here on our own border with Mexico. So we could keep the people employed and not lose that. But it's just amazing how much money we're spending other places and just letting Mexico go. But it's not true that we could help them, because Mexican president has absolutely forbidden us from doing some of these things.
Well, it's never stopped
us
before.
I've heard about several.
Okay, just like this. Here's a headline. This is from Los Angeles Times, Mexico City. Mexican authorities responding to an anonymous tip discovered about 50 mostly mutilated bodies dumped on the side of the freeway between Monterrey and the U.S. border, a region where rival gangs are battling for control over lucrative drug trafficking corridor. Now, the whole point is we've had to give up ephedrine and some of the other stuff because of the ingredients that might make some drugs, but yet one of the biggest avenues for getting drugs in this country is from south of the border. A lot of our problems are coming from south of the border. why aren't we, for one, putting our troops over there to kind of keep it out? And secondly, just because a country has said no before has never stopped us from going into it. Not that I'm encouraging that, but there comes a point we have to stand up to the plate. If nothing else, you know, I mean, it's like if you live in a bad neighborhood, you're going to add more locks to the door to keep the bad guys out.
But we're not.
We're not.
We're not. We're not putting people down there. We're not putting people on the border. We're not building a fence. We're not doing a lot of these things. We spent money. We spent billions of dollars on building a fence and didn't do anything with it. I mean, that's the thing we've got to change. But the people who have said that they'll do something about this problem are no longer running for president, are no longer running for the office. What are we going to do? See, that's the thing I like about the idea of going for Ron Paul at this particular point. Ron Paul would not do something. Let's say he wouldn't go over and spend millions of dollars defending our border. What he would do is not spend billions of dollars at all, but doing something else. It's a complicated thing as to why I would prefer Ron Paul over Mitt Romney. I get frustrated sometimes. We've got to make a difference, and we've got to make a difference by voting for somebody at this particular point. So even with Mitt Romney, that's a way to start. And the biggest thing is, it's not just Mitt Romney. We've got to vote for different states. Representatives and senators, a lot of people have got to be changed with a different point. Because let's face it, at this particular time, the Congress has less of is worse off than the president. I mean, people don't like Congress and what they've done. Significantly more so than they don't like what the president's done. So we've got replace the all.
Well, I want to kind of throw out there. I've been thinking about this for a couple of days, along the same line about the borders and stuff. You know, Sheriff Joe Arpaio is being sued again by the government for profiling, et cetera. And some examples were given. Now, granted, some of these examples are pretty good examples where somebody got pulled over and held. Most recently, a lawsuit. She was a 5-month pregnant woman, and the officer allegedly pulled her over in her own driveway. And when the woman refused to cooperate with the officer grabbed her and supposedly threw her against the hood of the car, which I guess created problems with the pregnancy, and then handcuffed her. I don't know the whole story, but I got to thinking. Now, granted, yes, on the surface that sounds the officer did not do what he's supposed to do, but I got to thinking that if you back up, if the federal government has done what it's supposed to do, which is protect this country, which is to cut off the leaky borders and close the side doors, the back doors, so everybody comes in through the front door, Sheriff Arpaio wouldn't be spending all of his time going after illegal aliens because it wouldn't be that big of a problem.
Did we find out if she's an illegal alien?
No, she was actually a citizen. That's why they're saying profiling. But again, you're in an area where you got, I don't know what the population is of illegals. I think it's probably over 1 million just in Arizona alone. And since most of them come from south of the border, yeah, you know, they're going to be their skin's going to be a little darker, so it's easier to profile. But you see where I'm going with this point is that if, as a result of the federal government not enforcing the laws and enforcing the, I got sidetracked by the phone ring. you know, if they were doing their job, a lot of these issues we wouldn't even have to be dealing with. We wouldn't be concerned about the separation of families.
I do believe that we do have an awful lot of problems with our people who are in charge of making these arrests, people who are doing this job, are a little out of line. They're a little out of control. That people who they get to take this to their head and get carried away with doing different things. I mean, the idea of grabbing her and throwing her up against a car, I mean, that doesn't make sense. That's there's no common sense to that. And so we've got to take a good look at who we're hiring to do some of these jobs. Some of these jobs.
I totally agree with you on that. And God, I tell you, I totally agree with you on that one. But again, if the reports are right, then the officer is totally out of place for doing that, including as the charge for racial profiling. But my point is that because the government has not done their job, they're not protecting the borders, they're allowing just anybody to come in. It has created so many issues, like the separation of the families. I'm not going to mention any names, and I'm not even going to mention where, because I don't want to, I don't want to get anybody in trouble or whatever. But this gal was a Mexican. She's, I don't know if she was born here or if she was brought over at a young age, but she was talking about that her mother came across the Arizona border and, risked her life to get here and was struggling, and nobody was there to give her aid, especially financial aid. And, of course, I'm thinking, well, okay, you illegally crossed into a sovereign country, and you're upset because nobody was there to give you a handout?
Well, I do know that this has been going on for a long time. It's been about 12 or 14 years since I lived in Needles, California, and ran a radio station there. And we went to Mexico. My news person and myself went to Mexico to buy a tape recorder and bring it home. And in the process of doing our driving through Mexico, or through the United States, rather, we did get stopped. I mean, we had stopped because I don't look Mexican. I mean, it was very obvious that I am not Mexican. But my newsman did perhaps have a little darker skin, looked a little bit Mexican. He's actually from New York, of all things. But they stopped us and checked us out. Now, it didn't take us long. We didn't stay long. It took us 5 minutes at the most. And it was a little annoying, I suppose. But we didn't make it annoying, and so it was no big thing. But I know this has been going on for a long, long time. I've been through it personally, so I'm aware of the fact that it's long. But if we did more of it, we did it as well as stopping the people from coming across the border, then we wouldn't have to do as much of the people stopping them here as we do. But that's one. The only thing we can do is stop them here. We can't stop them in Mexico because we don't have authority to be there and to do that. And so we've got to put more people on the border and do something about it. I didn't find that at all. Well, I didn't find it really upsetting that they stopped us. I mean, if they had kept doing it time and time and time again on the same trip, perhaps every time we go through a different part of a different city, we get stopped again. I suppose there's got to be a way to control it, but I didn't find it a problem.
Oh, there you go. In a way, I kind of consider it. It's like if you have a, and I'm using this analogy, but no offense to anybody, is like say you got a problem with mice, and you set the traps out, but yet you still leave food on the floor. The mice are still going to come in. If you take away what draws them, which in this case would be jobs, not for the mice. Mice don't work, I don't think. I don't know. I don't speak mouse. But anyways, you take away what the reason to come over here. But as somebody pointed out, another person I know, he's married to a person from Honduras, I believe, and she doesn't speak hardly any English. And I'm not going to get into the personal details, but when she goes home to her country on vacation, having $10 in her pocket is worth a lot of money over there. And that's part of the thing that's a track. Over here, $10 is nothing. It won't even get you a tank of gas. But over there, you can buy a lot of stuff with $10. And that's also part of the attraction. But even still, you know, come through the front door, welcome to America. Come through the back door, don't complain.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, we are complaining, and we are complaining about anything that's being done. We've got to put a stop to the people coming through the doors, no matter what they are. Legally, I, as far as I'm concerned, we should put a stop to it at all right now, at least for a temporary time to get it under control.
Yeah, throw the lock on the door until we can get things going. I mean, yes, it's unfair to a lot of people that are coming through, but you know what? We created the problem, the government. And, well, actually, not just the government, but we created the problem too. Some of the businesses that skirt the government to do it, and the people that have already went through the time, effort, and spent the money to come over here legally are insulted by and offended by the people that go through the back door and basically wind up and demand the same privileges that the people that are trying to come through and do it right are getting. And, so maybe what you just have to do is just say, okay, we're temporarily, like you said, we're putting a 100% stop on everything until we can get this problem under control.
And we need to actually enforce it, because that's one of our problems. We don't enforce half of our rules. We don't enforce half of our, because, you know, big companies hire these people and don't get put in trouble for it. That should be a big, big thing to be involved in hiring illegals to work for you. If you get caught at it, it should be a huge fine, or even worse. I don't know what to make it worse as, but we've got to do something about involved in enforcing the laws that we have on the books now.
Let me ask you this question. Like I said earlier in the program, you know, I pay 35% in taxes. An illegal comes over here, works under the table. You know, well, let me give you an analogy. From an employer's side, take two people, one legal, one illegal, both of them are making $10 an hour. The legal one doesn't get $10 an hour after they get through paying their 27% in taxes. It costs the employer more because he has to match Social Security and FICA and the other stuff. Or the illegal gets to keep the full $10, and it only costs the employer $10. Why should they get away with it? Why should we follow the rules when it costs both of us? So I'm not advocating to not follow the rules. You know, if you want to go up against the IRS, that's your doing. Don't do it on my suggestion. But the point is that look at how much money both the employer, my employer, and myself can put in our pockets if we were doing everything under the table.
Okay, I disregard that whole example, because under no circumstances will the illegal be making anywhere near the amount of money that the legal person makes. If the person that's making $10 legally, the person that's not is an illegal probably won't even be making $5 or $4. There's a huge disparity, but there's still, you're right, the person who's hiring that person is saving huge amounts of money. The person that's doing the work is not saving the money. He's not making any deal at all. But the person who's hiring the people, the company who's bringing those illegals in, they're the ones who save the huge amounts of money, not in savings and taxes or any of that, but by not paying them even a working wage, even a living wage, the only reason that they can save any money at all and spend it overseas, send it back to their people in their country, is because they are living such a horrendous life, as far as I've been able to see. The difference, because, you know, 10 people living in a house where normally one family would live, and I've seen it happen. I've seen it being done, and it's in California, right in the middle of San Francisco Bay Area, for example, there are people doing that that are living in an apartment that would be suitable for one family, two bedrooms and so on and so forth, and they've got 10 people, 11, 12 people living in that one apartment. It's amazing how little they live on, and they're making very little and given very little to live with it, and yet they still send money home. It's amazing.
Exactly. We I want to wrap this up in about 10 minutes because one of us has to go to work today. And I think that's me.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Well, but the thing with the if we would not allow those people to pay that kind of a wage to pay the illegal unfair wages, then that's where we've got to do something about making it cost money. In other words, if you get caught hiring the illegals and putting them to work at anywhere near the kind of wages that people pay for them, they need to be fined and done tremendous things to that company, because that's what is undermining our country right at the moment. And those people are there's a lot of them. There's a lot of people that are putting these illegal people in to work and not getting stopped for it, not getting done anything for it. We need to spend, if we want to spend some money, let's spend some money finding who those people are, who they are, and do it. I don't know whether it's the FBI or a CIA or whomever, somebody new entirely, but spend some time at it. We're not spending our time finding out who they are yet, and they're getting in here, and it's not a matter of taking jobs from our people, as far as I'm concerned, although they are doing that as well, but it's a matter of not giving them the incentive, not giving them those magnets that they keep talking about to come bring them here, and in the first place, we've got to get rid of that magnet thing that they're talking about.
Totally agree, and the guy to decide, and it's a tough choice, especially as, there's so many here that most, last couple of years or whatever, you didn't know somebody that was illegal. Now you put a face to it, and it makes it more personable, and it makes it a little bit harder, especially, like I say, when children are involved, and especially when the children have been here since, are born here. Have been here since a very young age, and they don't know any place else, it's pretty hard to just say, well, very coldly, we're just going to kick your butt over to a country that you've never been to. But in the same token, it's very irresponsible, in my opinion, of the parents, bringing their kids over here, putting them into the type of life where, you send them through school, maybe you luck out and get to go to college. Then what, you got a degree that you can't use over here because legally you can't work over here, and so you're forced underground, and some of the people are saying, well, we need to deport that kid. Well, to me, chances are the kid might not even speak the language over there, and much less, what's he going to do? You're going to just export him off into a foreign country? That's kind of cruel.
Well, it may be cruel, and I'm sorry, but there's going to have to be times that we are cruel. But the point is, get rid of the magnets.
Right.
Make it impossible for them to go to school. Make it impossible for them to get the education. Make it impossible for them to do any of these things. First of all, we've got to make it impossible for them to become a citizen. This business of just because you're born in the United States doesn't make you a citizen. No other country does that. None of them do that. we're the only one who says, well, if you're born here, you have all the rights and things to be a citizen. That's where it's got to stop to begin with. But you've got to get rid of these magnets, all of these incentives in hospitals, giving them hospital care, that's got to end. Giving them education, that's got to end. All of these big things that are a big draw for them to come here, or for the adults to bring their children here, or to come here to have their children. It's got to be ending. There's got to be a stop to it. And yet we're afraid, you know, this. We're nice people, granted, but we're going to be nice to our death. We're going to be nice to our total... we're going to be nice until we're broke.
Well, I totally agree. And the thing about the being born here for citizenship, that was the 14th Amendment, and that was basically when we one of our blemishes in our history is slavery. And so that was one of the reasons for the 14th Amendment, is to make the children of slaves citizens. But there's actually companies overseas, I believe in Japan or China, one of the two, that has a tourist thing that you can sign up for if you're 9 months pregnant. You take this, you sign up for this tour, you come over here and you birth your child over here, they become automatically U.S. citizen, then you go back to your home country because they like their country. But the only reason why they did that is so that when their child grows up, they can come over here and go into our colleges being a U.S. citizen. But you know,
I happen to be terrible. I know that this is not at all a good a thing that people would accept, but I think that those children should be confiscated. They should be, if you're going to make them a citizen, if you're going to make them a United States citizen, then take the kid, put them in an orphanage, and let them grow up there. But send the parents back home, period.
Well, I hate to say it, but I agree with you, because here's the thing that gets me. Okay, the parents, all knowingly, knew the consequences that they were doing by crossing the borders. You know, anytime you go into another country, let's face it, and then putting their child into the life that they're putting them into, in any other situation, if it happened to a U.S. citizen, if a U.S. citizen treated their child that way, the Department of Human Services would be all over them, and like you said, the child would be taken away. The parents would probably even go to jail because it'd be considered child abuse.
See, one of the things that happens about this particular instance of sending people over here that are pregnant is because we give them medical attention. So we should eliminate doing that. That would stop it a lot, because people would think twice about coming here. If we, you know, granted, we're so soft-hearted that we will give them medical existence, but then we should immediately send them back to their country. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do that would get rid of those magnets that are drawing them to the United States in the first place. I believe that granted, there are a great many children here that are already here, that are born, that are now U.S. citizens, and we can't take that away from them, but we can put them in a home and take care of them. And I know people don't like that. People wouldn't think that's good because a lot of people have not been treated well. But we can control how well they're treated in those places, and consequently, it's got to be done, because we're gonna just completely run the money out of the country. Our country is being decimated with things like this that are happening. We're spending all of our money in that kind of a situation, and that's not the only place that we're spending it, but a significant amount of money of every state is being sent on illegals, and it should be stopped.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. Plus the fact, you know, we're forcing our kids to learn Spanish, and we're, like I said, our country is just being diluted.
Well, I disagree with that. That we should have a program of teaching them English, and English should be the official language of this country. We should actually, it's not been made the official language, and we should make it the official language and stick with it. That's something that we should be doing right away and right now.
Well, and one question I've been putting out there, and we're going to wrap this up about 60 seconds. One question I've been putting out there, if this country is attacked with the estimated 11 to 20 million illegals, do you think any of them will stand up to help defend this country?
Oh, yes. I think hundreds and thousands of them would, because this is the best thing that they've got going for themselves. A great many illegals are in our military, and that should be against the law, too. So, yeah, I believe there would be. That's not a concern that we should just. The concern is they shouldn't be here in the first place, and there should be ways of eliminating any more new ones.
All right. Well, we're done for the day, folks. Again, this program has been pre-recorded for the pre-recording, so that you can listen to it on the archives. And again, you can send us emails talk@caribbeanradio.com. Hopefully, we will be back next week, 1 p.m. Pacific time. If not, you know, again, keep checking with the boards. We'll put announcements on there. Of course, unfortunately, Blog Talk took away the general comments box, and so you have to kind of either read a show description or go into Facebook. I'm starting to hate Blog Talk. Anyways, we're going to wrap it up for today. Thank you for checking us out, and we, like I say, we'll try be back next Monday. So have a great one.
Be good. Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com. Or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.